T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Happy to welcome to the show now, though, as we continue to get ready for the NFL draft and focus on what the Falcons may need to do. From NFL Films, Greg Cosell joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. How are you, Greg?
Gentlemen, what's going on?
Not much, man. Thanks for joining us.
Not much.
I appreciate you asking me. Good to talk with you.
Hanging out in quarantine, as I imagine you are as well. And I know that, obviously, anybody who knows who you are knows you watch tons and tons of tape. Has this lead up to the draft been any different for you at all? Like, you're pretty much well quarantined watching tape anyway, aren't you?
Well, yes and no. It's that's a long story, Andy. I have not been able to watch as much as usual, but I've probably still seen over 100 guys, but I normally get through about 250 guys. I won't quite make it this year.
What do you think the Falcons, look, as we look ahead to it, and we don't know what they're going to do in the first round. They may draft a player on offense in the first round. Thomas Dimitroff likes to confuse us. But the consensus is they might and should take a defensive player. What is the biggest need the Falcons have on defense as you see it?
Well, again, I think right now you'd have to look at the corner position. I think it's a little unproven. Obviously, they drafted Oliver a couple of years ago, and he's a big athletic corner. They're hoping he can turn out to be that sort of number one corner. Then on the other side, I think at this point, it's probably a little bit of an unknown. I really like Kendall Sheffield. I think he can play both outside and in the slot. I really liked him when he came out of Ohio State. I think he's got all the tools to be a quality corner. The issue, as you know, that we face this year is you don't have any offseason to see guys develop. So they could be looking at the corner position, and I think it's a fairly deep class. New coordinator as well, so you don't know what the mix of man and zone will be. At some point in this league, you obviously have to line up and play man-to-man on the outside.
Greg, when you're talking about, and we're going back to the Falcons, the defensive line, because, I mean, every year we think that they need to take a defensive lineman, they go somewhere else. Like you said, they might even go corner this year. But when you look at the top two defensive tackle, it's hard for me to believe that Derrick Brown is going to drop to them. But some way Kinlaw might fall as those quarterbacks come in, as those tackles come in. How does he fit, if he's that guy for them, how does he fit in this scheme for the Falcons next to Grady Jarrett?
Look, there's a lot of people who believe that you never have enough defensive linemen. I think the way people think on defense in today's NFL is you never have enough pass rushers and you never have enough corners. Mm-hmm. So if there's a defensive lineman who's there that you really have rated highly, I think teams think that that's what you take. They have pretty good players on their D-line. Obviously, they signed Fowler, who I think is a very good pass rusher. They'd be expecting McKinley to really kind of improve and become a little more than what he's become. He's shown flashes. Grady Jarrett, to me, and I loved him coming out of Clemson. I thought he was a top 50 player, and he was a fifth-round pick. And, you know, that's one I got right. Believe me, I get some wrong as well. And with social media, I get told about the ones I get wrong, believe me. But Grady Jarrett is a great player. He's a great one-gap player. I don't know if their defensive line is a weakness, but I think most teams would say that you never have enough pass rushers, which is obviously why they signed Dante Fowler.
I thought you asked a really interesting question on Twitter the other day when you were doing your Javon Kinlaw and Derrick Brown breakdown, which is, do you need to be a quality pass rusher from the defensive tackle position in order to be a premium NFL talent? And I think it's an interesting question. I'm interested to get your take on that. Do you think that you need to be able to get the quarterback?
I put that out for discussion, obviously. And, I think that both Brown and Kinlaw have pass rush ability, but I think that they both need work. So now it comes down to what you think they can become. But in today's NFL, the way most people think, you know, and these are always debatable points, and this is what I love to do because I think smart, reasonable people can disagree on a lot of things and make good points. But today's NFL, people believe that it's a passing game. It's why the running back position has been so devalued in the minds of a lot of people. So if you're drafting a defensive tackle early, and let's not compare anyone to Aaron Donald. He's a freak.
Please.
But the point
Please.
Is, do you need to be more of that kind of player than just a strong run defender? You know, Michael Brockers was, I believe, a top 15 pick. He's a really nice player. He'll have a 10-year NFL career, but he's not a big-time pass rusher. So the question becomes, does a defensive tackle need to be a big-time pass rusher to be a top 5, top 10 pick? I think a lot of people would say yes.
Wow, that is a great breakdown, Greg. And I love when you do stuff like that when I get the chance to watch you in the mornings and you do your breakdowns, because I completely agree with that point right there. Everybody wants to say, oh, he's the next Aaron Donald, or he needs to be more Aaron Donald, and there's so many levels to the game. And speaking of the next level, the Falcons they lost Devondre Campbell. He went to Arizona right now. The two linebackers that are probably inside linebackers in the 4-3 are Kenneth Murray and Patrick Queen. Which would be a better fit, in your opinion, next to Deion Jones?
Well, I love Kenneth Murray. I like Queen too, but I think Murray is a bigger athlete. He's a longer athlete, and I think he's a more explosive athlete. So now you get into other things which I don't get to know. Then you get into interviews, and from what I understand, Murray was phenomenal in the interviews, that he's just a natural-born leader. But again, I'm not the one speaking with him. That's what I heard when I was at the Combine. But I just like Murray more. You know, normally, the way I think about that, unless a guy has significant issues, and I don't think that either Murray or Queen has significant issues, but I would always go for the bigger, longer, more explosive athlete. And I also think Murray has more versatility. Murray was also used as an edge pass rusher at times at Oklahoma. He showed the ability to beat offensive tackles. Murray in some ways is, and he's bigger, but he's like Rashawn Evans, who the Titans drafted in the first round out of Alabama a few years ago. And Evans actually went to Alabama as an edge pass rusher and was turned into a linebacker, but he still has pass rush ability. Murray showed that dimension to his game. And, of course, as we know, rushing the quarterback is always important, particularly when you get into your sub-defenses.
Greg Cosell joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, getting ready for the NFL draft. Also want to take a look back at some of the moves the Falcons made in free agency. You mentioned Dante Fowler. I think we're all excited to see what he looks like on the defensive line. What do you see from Todd Gurley? I imagine you've had a chance to see some of what he looked like last year in comparison to what he looked like early in his career. What can we expect from him?
Yeah, I mean, look, I can only go by the tape, and, you know, I like to think I speak with some credibility and integrity, but last year he did not look very good. Now, again, there's going to be no off season, so he's actually going to rest a little more. I'm sure everybody's working out to some degree, but it's going to be different. If you're just looking at last year's tape, you'd have to say that Todd Gurley did not look like a quality NFL runner. Can he return to any semblance of what he was? I can't answer that question. But he certainly did not look like a quality, you know, foundational type back last year based on his tape.
And Greg, we're going around the league because we know the most important position or the most viewed position is the quarterback position. In this draft, I think Joe Burrow solidified himself as a number one pick, we think. The number five with the Miami Dolphins, my Dolphins, and this Tua Tagovailoa, you're hearing they're split between him and Justin Herbert. What are those differences outside of Tua's health? And then what is your opinion on a guy that I ask all you guys about, this Jordan Love guy?
Well, Tua and Herbert are totally different players. See, that's why I'm not a big list guy. I know everybody likes lists.
Right.
I'm not a big list guy because there's so many variables when you talk about quarterback and really most positions. Tua, to me, is a timing rhythm player. Herbert is not that kind of player at this point. He's not what I would call a ball distributor. Herbert would be more along the lines of a Josh Allen-type prospect. To me, if Tua were to reach his ultimate ceiling in the NFL, you know, and become a great quarterback, he would stylistically have to play like Drew Brees. He would have to be a timing, rhythm, schemed player. He's not a great athlete. He's a good athlete, not a great athlete. He's not Russell Wilson. So there's a total difference between those two guys. You have to understand what they are and what they're not. Jordan Love is the most fascinating prospect to me because he's extremely talented in terms of quarterback traits. And he does have ball distributor traits. There was a rhythm to his game at times, but there was an inconsistency, particularly with his lower body mechanics. And that always causes problems for a quarterback, both in, you know, particularly in terms of consistent accuracy and ball placement. But Love, to me, is the most fascinating quarterback in this draft after Burrow, who to me is clearly the number one quarterback.
Why is he so fascinating to you?
Because he's so talented. I watched him last summer as well off his 2018 tape, and then watched him this year, of course, off his 2019 tape. And just the talent jumps off the film, but there's some inconsistencies in what he sees. He struggled with underneath defenders at times. He's just struggled seeing them. A number of his interceptions this year came from that. But these are coachable things, just like lower body mechanics are coachable. And Randy, you know a lot of things are coachable. It depends on whether they get done by the player once you're in the heat of battle.
Would you be more surprised if Jordan Love goes in the top 15 or if he doesn't go in the top 15?
Because I'm not staring right now as you're asking me at the list of the order of the draft.
Sure.
That's a tough question to answer because I don't know what we know. Certain teams that absolutely need a quarterback. I mean, we know Cincinnati will take Burrow. Then you have Miami and you have the Chargers. After that, who's going to take a quarterback? I don't know. You know what the list is off the top of my head, but I think Love is a top 15 in terms of his talent. Some would say he's a third-round pick based on his inconsistent play. But the traits and the attributes and the characteristics are all there.
Greg, we appreciate it so much.
Yes.
Thanks for hanging out with us for a little bit today.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Appreciate you,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.